what you want, when you want it, where you want it. This is The Mesh.
Welcome back to My Dad Watches The Bachelor. I'm Meredith, and I'm here with my co-host, my dad.
Hey, Meredith. How's it going today?
It's going well. So excited to talk to my dad about all of the Bachelor dads.
I know. This show, when we have our visits to families, it feels bittersweet in that I can empathize a little bit with the dads and the families, but you know, part of me is always wondering, why would you let your kid do this? Why would you let your kid on the show? And why are you participating in this event? I don't know.
What kind of dad would you be if I had a hometown date? Would you be the supportive dad, or would you be the what the heck are you doing dad and be really mean?
I don't know. I could see that going either way. I mean, part of me would say I'm disgusted with this process, with this show. I'm not going to participate. I'm out. And part of me would say, I think it was Ariel's dad that said, look, I trust you to make decisions, and you've proven that you're a smart, intelligent person. I will support you. But why the hell did you go on this stupid show? I think that's what I'd also be saying, Meredith.
You'd have the angel and the devil on your shoulder trying to decide who to be.
That's right. So I found it interesting that three of our hometown dates seem to have parents that had been married for 30 plus years and very, very stable households.
Yeah, there were some good families.
There were.
I would be fine joining any of them except maybe Ariel's, because her brother seems a little scary.
Well, let's hop into the highlights, because Ariel's brother was a highlight for me. Brother Bobby, who struck me as a stone cold killer. You know, I doubt that you have watched the important movie, The Godfather.
Correct.
But he struck me as Michael Corleone type guy that this guy might be really, you know, a Ukrainian Jewish mobster in New York. I could see that as his vocation.
He does have the look.
Yeah, he was like wearing black. He looked very mobster-like, and you know, maybe he's just trying for that intimidation factor when somebody's dating his sister. I'm not sure, but I came away from that conversation thinking that Zach could be in danger if he dumps Ariel. This guy might be coming for him. But as we know, often the person that gets chosen, they don't end up together. And I'm just thinking that if he chooses Ariel, he better stick with her, because if he tries to dump her, it's going to be even worse for him. You know, he'll be swimming with the fishes.
Yeah, I've got more to say on Ariel's brother later on the show.
All right. Well, and I also liked Ariel's dad.
He's very nice.
Felix, I think, was his name.
I didn't keep up with many of the parents' names.
All right. You know, and he was the one saying that he trusted his daughter's judgment. He had some skepticism about the process, which I would as well. But he said that you've proved hundreds of times that you can see things differently than I can. So I support you. So I thought that was very nice.
Also, Ariel, very, very intelligent woman. You gotta trust her. She knows what she's doing.
I trust her, and I have enjoyed her very much.
I have too. Ariel for Bachelorette, baby.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. A high for me. Vermont in the fall. What a great place to go on a hometown. Beautiful, beautiful. So many leaves on the ground, all the colors. Like, I've only been to Vermont in the winter, and as someone who does not ski or snowboard, would not recommend.
I have never been to Vermont, but I would like to go to Vermont. I would think that the fall is the time to go. Of course, I would think that fall there might be August. I don't know. I mean, imagine that, you know, once winter hits, it's pretty messy. It's not pleasant up there.
I believe the hometown dates were recorded or filmed in November. And it didn't, I mean, they were wearing like jackets and stuff, but it didn't seem too cold there yet.
It didn't look brutal.
No. And I think that you and I would appreciate more the maple syrup of Vermont than Zach seems to. He, one, did not enjoy Gabby's like limo entrance where she forced him to drink maple syrup. And he didn't seem to enjoy it that much more second go round.
Well, and she was trying to drill into a tree to actually get the maple syrup out, which didn't seem to be working too well. I mean, I'm more of a domesticated maple syrup guy. I don't really need to get it in the wilds. I'm happy to get it out of the bottle, but I guess I would prefer the authentic. Although I have to say, I'm more of a butter on my pancake kind of guy than a syrup guy.
What about mustard?
No, that's weird.
Yeah, Zach's family likes yellow mustard on their pancakes, and I think that's pretty repulsive.
I thought he was going to say ketchup, so I guess mustard is just a tick better than ketchup on your pancakes.
I disagree.
So, I don't think either is a good way to go.
Well, I think I do enjoy the pancake syrup, but I also enjoy the maple syrup. I think I would be able to tell a difference between them.
Yeah, okay.
Another high for me, one parent interaction that I think Zach handled well when he was talking to Gabby's mom, he asked something along the lines of, how can I be the best person I can be to support her? And I thought that was a good question.
I thought that might have been a little bit of a kiss-ass question, but yeah, I think that's the sort of question that a parent would appreciate hearing from a suitor, yes.
Do you have?
I think he could have asked that question to any of the parents, and maybe he did. Maybe he did. Who knows?
But I thought it was good. Like maybe he put a little thought into that, more thought than he did than he has about why someone should marry him.
Well, it's probably because that was Bobby, and there was a gun pointed at him, and that makes a guy nervous. Okay.
Another high for me. I liked watching Zach going through the Jewish rite of passage with Ariel, just, you know, having to try all of the Jewish foods. I am dating someone who's Jewish. I have not tried gefilte fish. I also don't eat fish. I don't know if I would try the tongue sandwich either.
Yeah, I mean, I've had both, and yeah, I mean, Yeah, you don't really want to think about what you're eating when you're eating the tongue sandwich, you know, because it's not bad. It's sort of like red meat, but gefilte fish is certainly an acquired taste.
I think I'm going to stick to my matzo ball soup.
All right. Well, that's fine. No, that's good.
That's pretty much all the highs for me.
Well, the only other high I had was I thought that Charity made a very graceful exit. You know, Charity was the odd person out of this show. We still have Gabby, Ariel, and Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was a difficult decision for Zach. I mean, he really seemed to enjoy all four of them, and he's doing some agonizing. You know, Charity was about as accommodating as one could ever hope in that situation, and you know, didn't put him through the ringer and blah blah blah, and I thought she handled things very gracefully.
Yeah, I think she did too. I think that's pretty typical though. There aren't going to be a lot of people like throwing tantrums, especially like these four women. You know, they're actually. They seem like a good group of four. No one's too dramatic or crazy. You expect like a pretty classy exit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she could be saying, what did I do wrong? Why me? Blah, blah, blah. And she didn't pursue those angles. So anyway, kudos to Charity. We wish you the best.
I also enjoyed Charity's brother.
Nehemiah?
Yeah, I enjoyed the Nehemiah Charity relationship much more than the Ariel Bobby relationship.
And I thought Nehemiah was pretty, I want to say hard on Zach, but I mean, I thought he was, you know, pretty upfront with Zach, and obviously he and Charity have a very strong relationship, and it was very sweet how they got along.
It was sweet. Let's get into our lows.
Okay.
Starting the episode off with yet another scene of Zach showering. I'm really tired of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty numb to it at this point in time. Whatever. You know, it's sort of feel like it's a requirement, but whatever.
Watching Zach do country line dancing, big low for me. I don't know why. It feels very wrong.
Okay. I mean, he seemed to be trying. You know, I mean, not everyone can be a good country line dancer. So, I appreciated the effort. I actually didn't see Charity as a country line dancer, but she seemed to be enjoying herself.
Yeah. I found it interesting. I don't know if this is a low, but found it interesting that Katie has only lived in Austin for a few weeks, which, you know, that's where Zach currently lives. It seems weird to me, one, that you move somewhere and potentially buy a house. Like, she's showing us that she lives in a house, buys a house, goes on The Bachelor for 10 weeks, comes, I don't know. The whole thing seemed very weird to me. She's only lived there for a few weeks, and it's where Zach currently lives.
Are you theorizing that to improve her chances that maybe she said, oh, if I move to Austin, that would facilitate me getting together with this dude and make life easier?
I don't know if it goes that far, but there something in my brain is like some bells are setting off, so some alarm there. Like, is this rigged? Because if I were the Bachelorette and I was down to like two people, they're pretty even to me. One lives across the country. One lives in my town. I'm picking the person that already lives near me.
So, and Zach sort of goes between California and Austin. I guess he says he lives in Austin.
Yeah, he's from like Southern California, but he lives in Austin, I believe.
Okay, and the other three hometowns were in Vermont, Columbus, Georgia,
and New York City.
And New York City, right. Right. So you got the East Coast bias there, and then Texas. So, well, you're the expert when it comes to this, but this is presented to us as the girls get to sort of plan out their hometown dates, and Katie's Austin hometown date consisted of, we're going to go shopping to fill up my pantry, and I need you to put furniture together for me.
Yes, pretty terrible date, if you ask me.
That didn't show Austin at its best.
No, and it's also like, I've lived here for 3 weeks. I know nothing about this place. Like, what else are we supposed to do at this point? And so we're going to grocery shop, which also doesn't make sense because she's about to have to go back to California to go to the
grocery. I hope she didn't get any perishables. They did get a lot of flowers. I don't know if those were given out to Katie's mom.
It didn't look like the same flowers to me. But, you know, they're going grocery shopping, even though she's about to go back to California, get a rose, and then go to whatever beachfront location the rest of the season's going to be. So all those groceries, garbage. And then Zach's building IKEA furniture.
Been there, done that. Not a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they're so early in the relationship, they should still be doing the fun dates. You know, you've got so much time in your relationship to build furniture.
Yeah, so that was definitely a low. I've always wanted to go to Austin. Never been to Austin. I hear it's got a really cool music scene in Austin, but I can't believe this was approved by the Austin Chamber of Commerce.
You know, I'm not. Do they really have that much say?
Well, I think if I'm a new person in town and looking for a way to have a fun date, I might be reaching out for some help. If all I've got is I'm going shopping and putting furniture together, so you know, whether it be the Chamber of Commerce or somebody, let's see. I'd like to see Austin, and I didn't get the chance to see Austin.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about Austin.
This podcast is sponsored by Jackson Creative, a custom communication agency located in downtown Hickory, North Carolina, specializing in online content creation. To learn more, visit thejacksoncreative.com. Jackson Creative, we tell your story.
So I have a hot take for you.
Oh, I'm excited.
In terms of a low. And I really enjoy Ariel, and I think she would be a cool person to hang out with. But I just found her during the date, and maybe this is just her style, that she's just a bit too cool and a bit too aloof. And I certainly wouldn't blame her for trying to protect herself a little bit during this process and not really open up and let go. But I just feel like she's not really totally there for some reason. So particularly during this date, it just sort of struck me, and I just made note of it that as I was ranking the way these dates went, I sort of downgraded her a little bit just because it sort of felt like she was just a little too aloof.
I think that's her personality, and I think maybe she has to tone it back a bit because I think she's just so much smarter than everyone else on this show that she has to be like, let me bring it back a bit. Like, and she's got that like air of mystery to her. Like, I'm so intrigued by who she is as a person.
I agree with you, but I think that she's also got to show a little bit more warmth. I guess I'm not seeing that yet. You know, and that just might be her. It just worries me a little bit that the connection might not get as strong as it could be because of that.
So. Well, I definitely don't think she wins. This is Katie's to lose at this point for me.
You know, when I watched each of the hometowns, I probably felt that way. And then when I got to the rose ceremony, and I guess he picked Ariel first,
mm-hmm.
And then Katie, and then Gabby got the last rose. I don't know. I put a little stock into that. And here's a question for you, Bachelor person. You know, a red flag for me would be if I'm watching this show and I see Katie with her mom basically saying, you know, I trust you. You're my best friend. If you don't like him, he's out. You know, basically she seems to be delegating a lot of responsibility to her mom. And Katie is the one person left who does not have a father figure in her life. She's had bad luck with men, is basically saying that, you know, my take on what she's saying is that all the men in her life, except maybe her brother, have stunk, and she's basically, if she gets in this relationship, she ain't letting go. And I don't know, there were some red flags that sort of came up during her private conversations that I assume Zach does not see until after all this show is done. But if I was watching this show in real time, I would be sort of scratching my head and saying, man, I think that Katie's mom is going to be an issue somewhere down the road because, you know, whatever she tells Katie to do, Katie's going to do.
I didn't think about it that way. I just thought of it more like if I brought someone home and you guys really didn't like him, that would probably be a deal breaker for me. But they do seem to have a very close bond. But her mom seems very nice. She doesn't seem like a crazy mom. I know crazy moms, and she doesn't strike me as one.
I hope you're right. I had some concern that they were just so tight that could cause some issues for Zach at some point in time.
My last low, getting more advice from Sean Lowe. He. Not helpful at all, first off. Second off, we are wasting like 10 minutes having to get a recap of what we literally just watched. Like, let's just cut the show down 10 minutes. Like, we don't really need this. This is useless.
Well, I was concerned because I think it was like 9:20 or 9:25 and there were still another 30-40 minutes left in the show, and we had finished the hometown dates. I was like, what are we doing for the rest of the show? So yeah, Sean Lowe, is that who it is? I know his name's Sean. I don't know what his last name is. Yes, but
his last name's Lowe, because that's seemed where rather he belongs used. In the Lowe category.
Not very helpful. You know, basically, I guess we're trying to find something for our Bachelor family characters to do, and we bring Sean back, and I was in that situation too. It's really hard. Good luck. Have a nice day. Not helpful.
Yeah, try and make the right decision. Only two of us bachelors are still with our ladies, so good luck.
Yeah. So, not helpful.
Do you have any other lows?
No, I mean, I put down, you know, not – you probably shouldn't be doing shots of maple syrup. I don't think that's the appropriate way to assess maple syrup. I am not an expert, but I would avoid shots of maple syrup.
I think there are worse things to take shots of.
There are, but that's not the best way to evaluate the maple syrup.
Okay. So who's your right reason?
I gave my right reason to overprotective brothers. Nehemiah and Bobby, Bobby, you might be crazy. I'm not going to use my real name on the podcast because I don't want you to come looking for me, but I appreciate the fact that you're looking out for your sister. So my right reason goes to overprotective brothers this week.
My right reason, I'm giving it to Ariel's brother, Bobby, simply because of the questions he was asking, such as why Ariel should pick Zach, and Zach having really no good answers. And like, there's a long pause and Bobby's like, oh, great answer. You're doing great here. And Zach's like, well, I've got a big heart and I'm a good cook. That's all he's got. And then, you know, asking Zach, what's Ariel's birthday? What's her middle name? Don't you think you should know these things about a person if you want to get engaged to them? Which, like, pretty good points, Bobby.
I mean, fair points. I mean, you and I both know, and I'm sure Bobby also knows that, you know, look, this has been a whirlwind meat grinder, and you know, it's not like you're memorizing birthdays, but point taken.
But that leads me into my wrong reason, which I'm also giving to Ariel's brother, Bobby.
Okay.
He's really overdoing the protective brother in a way that seems like Ariel like can't take care of herself. Like she needs a protector because she's like a child or his property or something. And I just got like really intense, creepy vibes from him. And I think he could take some lessons from Charity's brother on how to walk the fine line between like protective brother and overly invested creepy brother.
Well, when we get around to watching Godfather 2, arguably better than Godfather 1, you'll really see some overprotective brother issues coming from Michael Corleone. So anyway, that's something that maybe, you know, Godfather 1 and 2, great Easter movies. Maybe when we're together over Easter, we can be watching those.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Who's your wrong reason?
Hey, so I gave my wrong reason to Katie just because I really felt that she was relying too much on her mother to make these decisions and seemed to be, you know, I'm all for strong daughter, mother, child, mother, father relations. But I just got the sense that she was giving up a good portion of her independence there. I just worry that she might be too overly reliant on her parent. So anyway, that was my concern there. So I had to say Katie this week.
Mm. Well, my MVP kind of goes against that. My MVP is like all the sweet family bonds that we got to see. I feel like we normally don't get as many as we did. You know, I thought Katie and her mom, like both of them crying, talking about how much they loved each other was very sweet. And like Charity and her brother, like them crying while talking about like her getting hurt in the past and how he wants the best for her. It's very like heartwarming to see. Very sweet. And I think Gabby's dad was very sweet as well. I think his name was Kevin. He he's really into the bachelor vibes. He thinks you can fall in love with someone in a day. So he is the perfect dad for this show.
Perfect dad for the show. Might not be the perfect dad, but perfect dad for this show. He's bought in.
Do you have any fatherly advice to wrap us up?
Well, Zach and our friend Sean did sort of beat around the bush, not beat around, but they were talking about making sure that you have a spouse that you can have fun with and a spouse that you enjoy. I mean, that's good commonsensical advice. I mean, I'm not sure that it's not particularly earth-shattering advice, but you're going to be spending a lot of time together. You better be able to enjoy one another. And I will say that from Ariel's date, I did take away, you should be willing to try new things and get to know your significant other and throw some caution to the wind. Whether that means trying the gefilte fish or the tongue, whatnot, don't know. But got to be open to new things, willing to try new things, experience your partner's background culture. So I thought that was good as well. So be open to that. I'm glad that you're eating the matzo soup and learning more about Judaism than you did before you started dating your current person.
So before we wrap up, I want two predictions from you. Who wins?
Oh, you want it right now?
Yeah.
So in the previews,
That's part of my second prediction. The previews, we see Zach being like, no sex for me. And it looks like he doesn't really stick to his guns there.
It looks like a she-devil seduces him and he falls off the no sex wagon at some point.
So I also want your prediction on who really breaks him down and tempts him and gets him who seduces him.
All right. So if I have to predict a winner, and I think any of the three that are left could be the winners, but I'm going to stick with one of the one left in my final four, Katie, just because I think she's going to meld herself into whatever situation to get her man.
And I think that's what Zach wants out of a woman. I agree with your pick.
I don't know if he does or not. And I'm saying this just from the previews, and I have no idea which one's going to be the seductress, but I'm going to say Ariel is going to be the seductress,
it does look like we see Gabby and Katie crying and very upset. Gabby very, very upset.
Well, it looks like everybody's upset at this point in time, so I don't know.
They're definitely leading us to believe it's Ariel, and I do feel like he is the most like intrigued and sexually attracted to her. So. And I do feel like she would be open to sleeping with him in the fantasy suite.
I don't know why you say that as opposed to the other two.
I think she's more free and like open with who she is. And she's just like, why wouldn't I? Like, we've been dating for whatever weeks. Like, if we're going to get engaged, like.
Well, I'm not sure that Gabby or Katie wouldn't do that as well. Although,
I agree. If I were in their shoes and someone was like, yeah, this definitely isn't happening, we're not doing this, I think that would make me mad. Whether or not I wanted to do it, someone just taking away my choice would make me upset.
I know, but what was that big lug, what's his name, that slept with everybody and got everybody upset?
Well, I think that many bachelors, his name is Clayton, many bachelors do that. He just, vocalized it to everyone.
I almost got the sense after the Clayton season that perhaps that set the table for a new precedent of, we're not going to do that. I guess we'll see. At what point do we get to go see Zach's family? Is it after we go through Fantasy Suites?
Yeah, it's when we get to Final Two. We haven't gotten any Uncle Kronk this season.
I know. That's probably the season's biggest disappointment. No Uncle Kronk, no David Putty.
Quite a few disappointments this season.
Well, that's the biggest disappointment anyway. All right. That's where I'm at this point in time. Although I would put Gabby as my second choice to be the winner.
So I agree.
So we'll see.
I did say last week that we were going to talk about the Women Tell All during this episode, and I lied because we haven't watched the Women Tell All. It's on tonight. We decided that if there's anything important to talk about regarding the Women Tell All, we'll discuss it next week, because I highly doubt that there's anything important. Although it did look like we're going to get a Bachelorette announcement.
Well, if you haven't seen it online, I guess we'll share it with you next week.
Yeah, but we've also seen spoilers, so we think we know who it is.
You think you know. I don't know. I don't see the spoilers, but yes, go ahead.
Well, we'd like to thank The Mesh for hosting our podcast. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to give us a 5-star rating and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And join us next week as we discuss fantasy suites from The Right Perspective and My Dad's.
You've been listening to The Mesh, an online media network of shows and programs ranging from business to arts, sports to entertainment, music to community. All programs are available on the website as well as through iTunes and YouTube. Check us out online at themesh.tv. Discover other network shows and give us feedback on what you just heard.